Sunday morning what Christ has done, what he's already done. Most Christians work to try to be pleasing to God when they're already pleasing to God. How do you know that you're pleasing to God? Because God sent his son to die for you. That's how you know. Some people say, I just can't believe that God loves me as much as he loves his own son. Well, look at the cross of Calvary.
That's right.
That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loved us in the past. It's already done. It just helps me so much to know that Christ has already completed the work. Now, we have to work it out in our lives, but he's completed the work for us. And what we do is receive it. Now, I talked about it last time. The way you receive the things of God is three things: grace, faith, and work. Grace, faith, and work. By the grace of God, he's already completed the work. When he said it was finished, it was finished. God finished the plan for your life. He knew exactly what you were going to be doing. He knew exactly what was going on in your life right now. And he completed that at the cross of Calvary. But the issue is you have to receive it into your life. You have to make that a part of your life. Just because Christ did it doesn't mean that you're going to receive it. You have to receive it. That's our part. Our part is receiving what God's done. That's called faith. By faith, we receive what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. So everything is done by grace, faith, and work. Salvation's done that way. God provided all the work for salvation on the cross. We receive it through Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the way we receive it all, and then we have to work it out in our life. Christ comes into our spirit. We are complete in our spirit. We are righteous in our spirit. We are holy in our spirit if you're a child of God. But you have to bring that out in your life. You do that by faith. You receive it and start working it out. Could you imagine, I've talked about this before, but being hired for somebody on a job and they tell you everything to do, and you go in and punch your card and then you sit down for 8 hours. At the end of the 8 hours, you pick your card up, punch it back out and leave. How long you think that's going to last? Not very long. And that's exactly what some Christians do. They punch their card and they said, I was saved back so-and-so. And then they just do their thing and kind of float through life. And at the end, they want to pick up that card and show it to Jesus that they punched in back there 20 years ago. And nobody in the world would ever know they were a Christian. That doesn't mean you're not going to heaven, but it does mean that you're not going to receive the entire benefit that God had for you. Going to heaven's good. But getting his inheritance he has for you is even better. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So what I want to do is to show you how to gain your inheritance. That's what Paul worked for. In fact, Paul said, you'll never find anywhere in the writings of Paul where he worked for his salvation. You won't find that. But what you will find is that he worked for his inheritance. He said, I strive for the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. He said, there's no foundation which is laid, but the foundation which is Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I live my life from the time I got saved till the time I'm with the Lord. I'm living my life with Christ as my foundation. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can be absolutely brilliant at certain things, and a lot of people are. Some people are brilliant at, making cars. Some people are brilliant at teaching in college, and some people are brilliant. They're doctors and they're lawyers, and they're all these things. I'll tell you something very interesting. In Hitler's army, he had doctors, he had lawyers. He had college professors. He had all these brilliant, so-called brilliant people, because he had to press them into service. And those same brilliant people without God threw children in the furnace of fire. Are you listening to me? The doctors, the lawyers, the professors, the intelligentsia threw babies in the Jewish babies in the furnaces. Now, can you imagine? How in the world is that possible? It's possible because it doesn't make any difference how smart you are in your mind. It's how smart you are in your heart and whether or not you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can be absolutely brilliant and be a mess. Are you listening to me? It's a matter of Christ. That's the difference. Germany was destroyed by its brilliant people. But they had rejected God. And that's the issue. I don't care how smart anybody is. I don't care how much money somebody has. Or it doesn't make any difference how poor they are. If they don't have Christ, they have nothing for eternity.
Yep,
nothing. You see, that's the issue. And so we can reason all this stuff out in our mind, but if we're not reasoning on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we're going to lose a lot at the end. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. Now, I met a guy in the grocery store yesterday, and I knew who he was. He has a home Bible study. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing good." And we got to talking. We both agreed, you know, Jesus is coming soon. We don't have a lot of time to do the works of the Lord to gain the inheritance that God has for us. And so it's time to say, "The rest of my life, Lord, what do you want to do with it? I've done what I wanted to do at this point. What do you want to do with my life now?" Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, we have to work this out. We have to work the inheritance out. It's like being born in a very rich family, and they have everything, and they set aside an inheritance for you, but they said, "You're going to have to develop in it. You're going to have to grow in it. You're going to have to understand where this came from. You're going to have to understand how this was obtained, all this inheritance, and then you have to do your part to earn the inheritance." It's just that simple. It's very interesting in a lot of businesses where a man will give his life to a business and build it up and maybe become very rich, and he has a son who just blows the whole thing in a couple of weeks. Are you listening to me? Well, that's because the son didn't understand where all that came from. He didn't understand what all the work that took to build that business up. He didn't understand it. And you and I have to understand who created this world in the first place, who's in charge, what he has in mind, what's going to be the end of the plan. I can tell you basically what it is in just about a minute. God created everything. He put man on the earth. He said, "I want some people out of all the millions. I want some of these people to come and love me because of who I am. I want them to make a choice to love me and to live for me the life they have on the earth. And that at the end, I'll take them out and take them to live with me forever." It's not complicated. Man has a plan for this earth. Their plan is, you know, it never changes. We just studied about Nimrod and his one world government in Genesis on Wednesday night. And his idea was he was going to defy God. And God said, "Scatter over the whole earth and fill the earth." And Nimrod said, "No, we're all going to come together in one place and we're going to build a tower to heaven. And we're going to have one language and one world and one group of people. And I'm going to be their God." Well, that didn't last too long. But people do not study history. And so they're going to do the same thing again. The whole world wants to come back together. In 1933, the Illuminati started several groups: Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, all of those various groups that have been going ever since 1933 to build a one world government. And we see it happening quickly because they don't have the foundation of God. And it's all going to come to nothing in the end. Are you listening to me? And they're going to lose it all because they didn't have the one that is all, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the issue. Now, let's get back to what I was going to talk about. I was talking about, I get hopped up on this, hallelujah, praise God. I'm going to talk about how you gain healing. How do you use grace? How do you use faith? And how do you use works to maintain your healing? I'm going to talk about that because we need to know as Christians. Some people don't understand this thing about healing. And so I'm going to talk about how do you work out your healing. I'm going to talk about that. Jesus Christ says time after time in the scriptures, by your stripes, by his stripes, you are healed. So what that means is that Jesus took all those stripes before the cross and all that upon the cross, and he did that for our salvation, which means healing of spirit, soul, and body. All three of those things. Now, some people don't understand that's what salvation means. That's what it means. But you have to maintain it. You have to, God has provided it. You have to receive the entire benefits of it. Then one of the things you do, you just keep reading healing scriptures in the Bible. You say, well, I just don't have time for that. You will if you get sick. Are you listening? Go to Psalm 103. I want to show you a few scriptures, and I'll show you some of my favorites. And you need to keep these in mind because everybody goes through things. I say everybody goes through things. All right, Psalm 103, verse 1. Now look at this, underline it in your Bible. Keep this in mind if you go pray for somebody or if you need the prayer. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You see, there's benefits with the Lord. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. There it is right there. Heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And Christ is the only one that can do that. Are you listening to me? Nobody else can do that. You see? And, okay. Let's go to let's go to Isaiah 53. Everybody knows this one, but I love it. And we need to look at this. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and we acquainted him with and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Who is that? I say, who is that?
Jesus.
Correct. Surely he has bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Repeat, with his stripes we are healed.
We are healed.
With his stripes, we are healed.
We are healed.
There it is. Now, I'm going to explain that. Because some people say, well, you know, I know this person we prayed for and they died. Well, if they were Christians, that's not a bad thing. For one thing. But to die early is not a good thing. And we're going to talk about that as we go along. Now, salvation, I say again, is the healing of our spirit, our soul, and our body. Very clear. That's what that word means. I want you to look in Matthew 10:1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. You need to just go over and over and over these scriptures until you get it. Matthew 10:1, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of diseases and all, sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Say this. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses, all manner of diseases. Okay, now it must be God's intent to do that, because he sent his disciples out to do it. That was a work they were doing. We call it ministry, but that was a work they were doing for God. They didn't do it to be accepted by God, because they were already accepted by God. Are you listening to me? They're doing it because they are accepted of God. Now, we have to keep this thing in perspective so we understand it. Now look in John chapter 6 and verse 1. John chapter 6 and verse 1. John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on those who were diseased. Now, that would indicate that it's Jesus' desire to heal people. It's right there. That's what he did. He didn't do anything he didn't desire to do. And another thing he didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. He didn't do one thing that God the Father didn't tell him to do. He listened to the Father. The Father told him what to do. He went out and did it. We have the Father right here. It's called the Word of God. When the Word of God speaks, it's like God speaking to you. We're to go out and do it. That's where somehow we miss it. We get a disconnect between what God says and what we do. And what we do is the works of God that's going to bring the inheritance of God. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about a lady. This lady was fairly young. She just had a four-month-old baby. This is a true story. She worked at 911. She took 911 calls. That's what she did. Well, she started feeling poorly, and so she went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have Lou Gehrig's disease. It's my understanding there's no cure. The doctor back there could tell me, but I understand there's no cure for that. There are some things they can do to prolong your life, that kind of thing, but there's no cure for it. She was a Christian. And so here's what she did. She is going to do now. She knows God is the healer. She had her church pray for her, of course. She went to the elders of the church. That's very important. She went to the elders of the church. She believed that God healed today. She believed that. But she kept getting worse. She kept getting worse. And so here's how she received that healing scriptures. She put healing scriptures on her refrigerator. She put healing scriptures on the walls. She put healing scriptures in the bathroom on the mirror. She listened to healing tapes and CDs. She listened to healing messages on television. She read the Word of God on the healing scriptures. She did all of this stuff and kept getting worse. And so then she decides, well, I'm going to, by faith, go back to work. She was still sick. So she went to her boss and he said, I'm not feeling real well. I may not be able to work every day all the day long, but can I come back to work? He said, yes. And I'm going to tell you, she had her good days and she had her bad days. But she kept on moving. She kept on believing. She kept on receiving the Word of God. She kept faithful in church as much as she possibly could. And I'm going to tell you something. She even prayed for other people. I hope you're listening, because I'm telling you how to work out your healing. She even prayed for other people to be healed. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. She didn't give in. When she could, she got out. When she could, she went to work. When she could, she went to church. And one day, she was healed. She is a mother yet today and has had another child, perfectly healed and whole from something there is no cure for, according to the doctors. Are you listening to me? That's the way you work out your healing. You work it out. You don't always get a miracle. A miracle is instant healing when you're prayed for or when you pray for it. That's a miracle. Jesus did mostly miracles. Not every one. Some of them got healed later. But most of the time, he did a miracle. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't keep praying. You couldn't keep at it and keep on moving. Now, another thing you do to work out your healing, you confess any known sin in your life and you forsake it. You ask forgiveness. You don't have any unforgiveness in your life. You want to get all that cleaned up, because Jesus made it very clear that many times sicknesses came from sin. Are you listening? In fact, if you want to get technical, all sicknesses came from the sin of Adam. Okay, sometimes we sin and it causes sickness. Not every time we get sick is because we sinned, but sometimes it is. And so you get right with God and you get right with man as best you know how. It's what you do. You confess sin, do all of that stuff. This woman was only given 2 to 4 years to live. But yet, she believed God, she stayed with it, she got right with God and man. You give, you tithe, you do all the good works you can, you do everything you know how to do, and when you do those things, that's called working out your healing. And sometimes we have to work it out. God's given it to us, we have to work it out. Sometimes it's a miracle. Now, actually, there's three things concerning healing. Sometimes you get an instant healing and it's a miracle. Sometimes God takes us through the sickness and heals us on the other side. Are you listening to me? And sometimes he takes us to be with him. That's the ultimate healing. And we're not here to tell God what to do. But he's here to tell us what to do if we want to be healed. Are you listening to me? You just don't... I go to doctors. I listen to what they say. And if they tell me to do something, I pray about it and usually do it and that kind of thing. But I am primarily relying on the Lord Jesus Christ for my healing. Amen. If you cut yourself and put something on it, put a Band-Aid on it or something, that thing's healed. Who healed you? Jesus always does the healing. He uses doctors. He uses chiropractors. He uses whoever in doing it. There's nothing wrong with going to doctors. But you have to be careful with that, because you need to pray. You need to see what God wants to do. You want to see what direction he wants you to take. And if I had a lady one time, I visited her in a hospital. She said, I really shouldn't be in here because I know I'm healed. And she died about 3 days later. This lady was almost 100 years old. And I prayed for her. She wanted me to pray for healing. I prayed for it. Man, she got healed. Hallelujah. She went to be with Jesus. I mean, there is no sickness in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Come on. That's the ultimate healing. That's not a bad thing. But what the deal is, if it's not your time, then you fight for what God's already given you in your healing. Are you listening to me? And you don't give up. You never give up. You don't quit until you're with Jesus. And then that's over. But you go to the elders of the church. Another thing you do, if you had heart problems, we'll say, and you find out that heart problems run in your family, well, that is a family curse. And so you have to break that family curse over your life or over somebody else's life. That's why we ask if somebody's got a problem, they don't seem to be getting healed, we say there's something else going on here. Either there's some sin we don't know about, some unforgiveness we don't know about, or they need prayer for that family curse of heart problems. Every one of my father's brothers, and he had four, died of heart problems in their 60s, except him. Why didn't he? Everybody else did. In his 60s, he found Jesus Christ. He had a foundation to work on. He was in the Word of God. I don't think he knew all the information I'm telling you today, but I'm going to tell you it makes a difference. The foundation has to be the Lord. You can have a brilliant mind and be a total dummy as far as God's concerned. And that's not good, you see. It'd be better off the other way around if you knew everything about God and didn't know a whole lot of other things. You'd be better off, but I'm not suggesting it. Now, let's go to James. You just look up scriptures. You keep looking up what God says. You keep acting on what he does. You do what you can. James 5:14. These are just scriptures a lot of you know and or should know. And you say, well, you when you're young, you know, you don't pay attention to this stuff. You start getting older and you say, where are those healing scriptures he talked about 20 years ago? Well, write them down. Know what they are, because these things are important. Okay, James 5:14. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before. I'm just saying use it. Is there any sick among you? Let him or her call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? I say the prayer of faith shall what? And the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sins, he'll be forgiven him. That's because you confess your sins at the same time that you're being prayed for. Let's say it. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Okay, now, the issue is that scripture means what it says. I can't tell you how many Christians I know have been sick in the hospital, terribly sick, and never called for the elders of the church. The only way I knew they were in the hospital, somebody else called me after the fact, or after they'd been in there 2 weeks and nothing was happening. You should be calling for the elders of the church. Are you listening to me? I had a little surgery the other day, and I had the elders pray for me before I went in. I'm going to touch all the bases. What happens if you run around the bases and miss second base? You're out, you see. That's the issue. And so we don't want to miss the bases. We want to cover the bases and then trust God that he's going to do what he says. Luke 16:18. Luke 16:18. And I'm sure there's others of you had favorite scriptures you know, that you like. Wait a minute, that didn't look like the right thing. Well, if your wife's sick, that might work. That's not the right scripture, excuse me. But anyway,
you know what's brilliant?
The issue is that you want to cover these bases. Now, I'm going to go over them again. What happens when you get sick? Now, you know what we have a tendency to do? We'll get a terrible cold or get something and just call up the doctor and get something and just say, well, if that doesn't do it, I'm going to pray. I say, if that doesn't do it, I'm going to pray. You ought to pray the first minute you got a sniffle,
right,
because maybe you wouldn't have got the pneumonia.
Right.
Are you listening to me? I don't care how old you are, how young you are, if you got over it before real quick, it doesn't make any difference. You have to understand, we have an enemy out there that if you open the door, he'll come in.
Big time.
He'll make it worse than it was.
Right.
He'll make it worse than it usually is. And so we have to battle these things. Now, that's healing. Now I want to talk about another subject. How to use grace, faith, and works in finances. Oh, there he goes, talking about money again. Well, I do that a couple times a year. But I tell you, I ought to do it every Sunday. But I don't, because I know the benefits of it. Are you listening to me? I know the benefits of it. Because I learned this years ago, sometime after I got saved. When I first got saved, I did what my mother did. I used to do when I was a kid. She'd put a couple dollars in the plate. And that's what I did, even after I got saved. And then I learned that wasn't God's way. And then I began to learn that God's way was something else. So how do you use grace and faith and works in your finances? And how can you trust God when you lose your job? How can you, some Christians constantly, forever, until they die, have financial problems, and I'll tell you, in most cases, they don't tithe. I'm not telling you for my benefit. I'm telling you for your benefit. Because that's what the Word of God says. And, I've heard testimonies on this about what God does. Look in Deuteronomy 8:18, Old Testament. It was way back there. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I'm trying to show you how grace, faith, and works in salvation, grace, faith, and works in healing, grace, faith, and works in finances. It's all the same. Deuteronomy 8:18. Boy, if you ever want, I tell you, all these big shots on TV that are wealthy ought to read this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you. That's the issue. Please look at this. It has more than to do with money. That he may establish his covenant with you, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you'll surely perish. But God said, I have a plan for you. Number one is that you're going to have enough money for yourself and enough to help other people. And number two, you're going to live in his covenant and get the benefits of it. So the covenant is God's word that he has given to you and I. So having enough to take care of yourself and other people has to do with the covenant of God. It has to do with the Word of God. Now, some people believe God for salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they just eat that up. Man, they got it everywhere. But you go down and says, well, you know, where the power to get wealth and the word and covenant of God go together, well, they just kind of dropped the ball on that one, you see. Now, God's already commanded his blessing on you and the power to get wealth in you. It's in your spirit. It was done at the cross. You don't have to work for it to get God's attention so that you will have what he wants you to have. Now, I don't mean you don't want to work. Now, don't get that wrong. But the point is, man, it got quiet in here when I started talking about money. The amens quit and everything else. I just don't understand it, how that happened. Get your hand off your billfold. I didn't ask you to open it up. We're only taking one offering today. Come on Sunday night. We don't even take one. Come on. Now, God wants you to have enough for yourself and enough left over for other people. It's just that simple. It's not complicated and so forth. And don't you think any wealth you have came from anywhere but God, because it didn't. Now, I'm talking about believers, not lost people here. It even works for lost people, incidentally. But so you got to believe you have God's wealth anointing and all of this. I want you to, you say, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Look in 3 John, not John, 3 John. It's after James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. They're very small one-pager there. And go to verse 2. Well, let's go to verse 1. 3 John 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, that's God's desire. Let's say it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, so it has to do with the soul prospering and so on here. It all goes together, just like the covenant and the wealth we were talking about in Deuteronomy. It all goes together. You have to believe that you have it, and then you put it to work by faith. Number one, same thing, seek God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Put him first in your life. I could ask the question, is God first? It takes a very simple answer. I won't ask for it. I won't want to embarrass anybody. But is God first? You see? All right. Now you got to trust him and start giving. You have to start giving. Giving is a tithe. Tithe and offerings. We give the tithe every Sunday. We have an offering once a month. When usually once a month, when we have the Lord's Supper, that'll be next Sunday. Tithe and then the offering we give. All right. Now, that's the beginning. You must, and then you have to understand, that is called sowing in the Bible. It's like sowing seed. You're sowing money into your life so that you will have money coming back. It's just that simple. I didn't say you'd be a millionaire. But God does give some Christians the power to be millionaires so they can give money to the causes of God. I'll tell you that right now. There is that gift. It's certainly in the Word of God. But what we're talking about is having enough for ourselves, enough left over to give to somebody else. And if you do this, it doesn't make any difference if you lose your job. God will take care of it. Yep. Are you listening? It won't make any difference if you get laid off. God will take care of it one way or another. Look in Deuteronomy again. chapter 28 and verse 8. Or excuse me, chapter 8 and verse 28 and verse 8. That's right. I'll get it. Yeah. Deuteronomy 28 and then verse 8. And I got a couple of scriptures I want you to look at here. You see, when God says one thing in the Bible one place, he's not going to say something different in another place. It doesn't make any difference, Old Testament, New Testament, or what it is. It all goes together. Okay, Deuteronomy 28, and then verse 8, and that says, "The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that you set your hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God has given you. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, and he has sworn unto you." But we just talked about primarily finances. Look in verse 12. "The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain in the land in its season, to bless all the work of your hands." You want your hands blessed? "And thou shalt lend unto many, and you shall not borrow." Way too many Christians are so in debt they can hardly ever get out of it. And usually, I'll tell you one thing they're not doing, and that's tithing. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and buy anything you want. That is not the issue here. The issue is that God wants to take care of you, and this is the way he does it. Now, let me tell you what prosperity is. Prosperity is simply having enough of God's supply to fully accomplish his will for your life. Let me say that again. Prosperity is simply having enough of God's supply to fully accomplish his will for your life. No more, no less. That's what it is. Now, when you start doing the things, believing for the anointing, for the prosperity that God wants you to have, you're going to start seeing it when you do the basic things. You're in the Word of God. You're confessing your sin. You're asking forgiveness. You're asking for prayer in certain situations. You're in church. You are tithing. I'm telling you what to do to expect God to bless your finances. Now, this may not be anyways near as much fun as to have him heal you, but this is just as important. So I'm almost done, so hang in there. Now, you start believing it, and you'll start seeing it. You work. Now, this does not mean you don't work. You work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That would pretty well take care of the all this giveaway program the government's doing. It's done nothing but cause more poverty and more problems because they didn't listen to the Word of God. What they ought to do is be teaching people to work. Now, I understand some people can't work. And that's a whole nother thing. But the ones that can ought to get their little fanny out there and get busy.
Get on it, brother.
Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about retired people, but you ought to keep busy too.
That's right.
Or you're going to vegetate and go to be with the Lord sooner than you wanted to. Are you listening to me? We are designed to be busy. We're designed to do things under the direction of God. I'm talking about how to have enough for yourself, you see, and enough left over to help somebody else. Now, God wants you to have enough money to be able to give to Christian causes and things, and he wants you to do it. So you, instead of sitting around, you go out, you start touching things in Jesus' name, you start praying for people, you start doing the work you know to do, you fill out applications, you get as much training as you can that God wants you to, and you keep busy and you keep on moving, and if you're giving properly and faithful to God, he will take care of you, period. I should at least get an amen on that one.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Now, we got to act in faith. You got to put some feet onto faith. You have to do something. You have to pray. You have to get There are more scriptures on finances in the Bible than almost anything else. Isn't that a little interesting bit of information? Why do you think that is? God wants his people to prosper. He makes them more creative than anybody else. More inventions have been done by God's people because he gives them the power to create and prosper. Are you listening to me? I don't care what's going on in the stock market, anything else. God wants you to have enough for yourself and enough left over to help somebody else. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in Bible study. Be faithful in church. Do what God's called you to do, and you keep moving, and God will bless you. Don't you believe that?
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'll talk a little bit on a different subject next time, but we've talked about so far how to have grace, faith, and work bring you salvation, healing, and prosperity. That's simple. I don't believe in, I understand on television, it's so expensive that you have to ask for money every time the door opens in the place. I mean, every time the TV's on. And I think it's overdone sometime. But there is something that you need to know about it, and that is God blesses it because he says, listen to me, the tithe belongs to him. And if you don't pay it, you're stealing. Oh, aren't you glad you came today? Now, I understand that some wives that come and their husbands don't come, you have to do whatever your husband says, but you can pray for him. Pray he gets saved for one thing. But the issue is that tithe belongs to God. And how can you expect to get healed and prosper if you are taking some of God's money? How can you expect to do that? He said, I got a plan for you. You tithe, I'll bless you. It's not complicated. That's it for the rest of the year probably on that, but I just want you to know. I want every one of you blessed. You know, I want the best for every one of you. I want you to be healed. I want you to be blessing the Lord and getting excited in a lost, messed up world.
That's right.
We have Jesus.
That's right.
Let's stand before the Lord.